Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
All right, let's grab our Bibles and get into the Word of God. Grab your digital device, your teaching handout. However you roll today is just fine with me, all right? We got the scriptures up on the screen, and I want to ask if anybody in this room believes in miracles. Does anybody believe in miracles? All right. How many people need a miracle, a specific kind of miracle, a miracle of provision? You need God to provide something for you, all right? Because that's what we're going to talk about. I want to bring you a great message from a famous chapter in Scripture. I believe this is going to lift your faith here in our fifth message of the miracle series. And we're just going to keep going until we can't take it anymore about miracles, all right? Mark chapter 6, verses 34 through 44. We have it on the screen. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion. Everyone say compassion. You know, I love the compassionate nature of the Lord because I need compassion. I'm a broken, hot mess, let me tell you. I was thinking about how beautiful it is that Jesus, you know, when Peter chopped off the ear, you know, like a total bonehead, right? He picks up his sword and chops off the ear of Malchus there in the garden when Jesus was being arrested. And what does Jesus do? Well, you broke it, you fix it. Is that what he did? He picked up that ear and he put it back together. And I said, Lord, thank you that you're the God of fixing my mistakes even. You know, God can do a miracle for anyone at any time, even if we don't deserve a miracle. He's full of compassion. And I want you to connect with this really, really, really well, because when I talk to you about his provision, it's always in the context that he loves you and cares for you. Of course he's going to provide for you because he loves you and you're important to him. He stepped from the boat and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away. We're in a tight spot here. Let's get rid of these people. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat. And Jesus said, you feed them. Now, see, at that point, the disciples had the ministry of referral. They were aware of the need, and they wanted to refer the people. How many have the ministry of referral, all right? You know, and Jesus said, no, we're not going to be referring these people. We're going to be taking care of them. Now watch how this story, because again, he's full of compassion. This is not a send them away, Jesus. This is a I'm ready for the needs of my people, Jesus. So he says, you feed them. And they brilliantly, because they know God is their father. They do not have an orphan heart. They do not have a poverty mindset, right? Brilliantly, they say what? With what? We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. In other words, Lord, you're not being practical. You don't seem to understand the mess that we're in. We cannot do this in the time that we have. And this is a lack mentality and a poverty mentality. God deliver us from the poverty mentality. How are we going to make this? How am I going to pay this? How am I going to get this? There's not enough hours in the day. Hold on. The God of miracles is still fully in control. He says, how much bread do you have? Go and find out. And they came back and reported. They took inventory. They came back with the tally. And here was the whopping store of food they had. 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed a multitude. It says Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. And they ate, all of them, as much as they wanted. There was no ration control that day. They ate as much as they wanted. There was plenty, a God of abundance. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of what? Leftover. They started with just a little bit, and now there was more than enough, and they had to pick up the, there was so much food, they needed 12 baskets to carry it all away. And it says a total of 5,000 men were fed that day, not counting their families. We believe there are around 15,000 people there that day. Started off with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and everybody got lunch. That's a God of miracles. That is a God of provision. Now, let me say a few things about miracles of provision as we get started. First of all, miracles of provision come into our desperate situations. Miracles of provision are not like the normal lifestyle. It's not the daily way that God provides. We do work and we do all our responsibilities. We do our part. But then when we've done everything we can do and it's not enough, that's where the God of miracles steps in. And oftentimes we find that we are in desperate situations. Now, you might be in a desperate situation here today, a housing crisis, a financial crisis, whatever it is, and there's just not enough money to meet the need. Why did God allow you to get in some kind of a jam like that anyway? I mean, God, I thought you were good. I thought you were a God of provision. Here I am, I'm late on my rent. Here I am, I can't make my payment. Here I am, we're low on groceries. My kids need shoes. I can't keep up. There's more month than money. Why am I in this situation? Where are you, God? Well, let me just tell you, sometimes the Lord works in our lives by allowing us to drift into desperate situations. Because it's in the desperate situations, like it's late in the day, there's too many people, and we're running out of time, and everybody's hungry, and oh my God, what's going to happen? It's in those desperate situations that the power of God can be seen the best. And I'll tell you, I personally don't learn that much from my successes. But I learn a lot from my mistakes and my desperate situations. Those are the time where God actually gets a hold of my life and changes who I am. So if you're in a desperate situation, just relax and believe that God is going to help you through this time and that he will show up big time in desperate situations. Psalm 50 tells us that God wants us to trust him in our desperate times. Trust me in your times of trouble. Trust me when everything is going wrong, because that's where I'm going to move and that's where I'm going to get the glory. You will be giving me the glory. This afternoon at 3:00, we have a beautiful service. I don't know if you've heard of our Gateway Healing Network service. It's brand new. We started it this year. It's once a month. And I want you to think of the Gateway Healing Network service as basically an urgent care or an emergency room within Gateway City Church for people that need a touch, they need a miracle, they need a strong prayer for freedom, they need a healing in their body, and more than what could happen maybe here in a Sunday morning, just a few minutes of prayer after the service. We dedicate a whole hour and a half service to that time. The word is taught, and people are deeply, deeply ministered to. It's very important in the life of our church. People that come to the Gateway Healing Center would come because they're in a desperate situation. They need a touch right now. And if that's you, I want to encourage you that we have that available. But trust God in your times of trouble. Psalm 17 says, "You provide for those you love." I love this verse. "You provide food for those you love. Their children have plenty, and their grandchildren will have what? More than enough." Remember, all the baskets that were left over. Right now, it feels like we're never going to make it. But I promise you, the God of provision is on your team. And your children are going to have shoes. They're going to have everything they need. Come on. And not just what they need, but everything and enough left over. And those of you that have children and those of you that have grandchildren, I know we carry, as parents and grandparents, we worry about our kids and we worry that they have enough, but we got to stand on the word and believe, my children are not going to lack. My children and my grandchildren are going to be well off. They're going to be more than adequately provided for. And we enter into the courtroom of heaven and we say, "Lord, I'm reminding you of your word to me. I'm reminding you of Psalm 17:14 that you said, my children will have more than enough. I receive this. I claim this for them now in Jesus' name. They will have houses. They will have cars. They will have everything they need. And my grandchildren too. My family's not going to be broke. My family's not going to be busted and disgusted. My family is blessed. Come on, somebody. Say, my family is blessed. We got to push back on all this poverty thinking and all this fear and anxiety thinking. We push back with the promise of God. God is a God who shows up in our desperate circumstances. I may run out of time before I run out of words today. But I'll tell you what, I'm fired up to believe for the provision of God in your life. I'm not worried about you at all. You put your faith and your trust in God. I don't feel sorry for you. You put your faith and your trust in God, and the God of miracles is going to show up for you big time. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it too many times. This is real. All right, another thing I want to mention is that miracles of provision are a part of what I call God's unusual activity in the earth. Miracles are not every 30 seconds. Don't get discouraged if you haven't seen a miracle in the last 30 seconds. The very nature of miracle is something unusual. But God does unusual things. And I think it's important for us when coming to a story like this, we understand this was an unusual provision, okay? Jesus didn't open up a 5 loaves and 2 fishes daily, you know, feeding station. It happened that time. It happened one other time where a different set of circumstances took place and people were fed. But the point is, miracles are unusual, and we need to open up our lives to believe for all kinds of wild and crazy ways that God can work in our lives. If you're one of these like boring, every day is the same, every day is every Tuesday we do this, every Wednesday we do this, every Thursday we do this, every Friday we do this. If you're one of those systems guys, you might not see as many miracles as people that are open to the unusual. The nature of a miracle, catch this, the nature of a miracle is it is unusual. That means you have to be open to unusual things. And God can do, you can say, well, I think this is the way God would provide, but he's not doing it. And then he comes in from this direction. He does unusual things. So expect the unusual in your life. Open up your heart and believe for God to do unusual things. Like it says in Acts chapter 19, God did powerful things through Paul, things quite out of the ordinary. The King James says God did unusual miracles. Everyone say unusual miracles. Say this with me. I believe in unusual miracles. See, that even just opening that opening your heart that far, that God can do crazy stuff. He can do out of the box things. You know, we try to put God in a box, and it's a mess. There's a verse in Galatians 4 that talks about the miracle working power of God. I wish I had time to break that verse down for you, but it really talks about life in the spirit and life in the flesh. And the bottom line of that fourth chapter of Galatians is we don't do things just according to the flesh. God works in a whole different way, and that's where the supernatural miracles take place. So if for you it's all about practical and it's all about predictable and all that, you probably aren't going to see too many miracles. You got to open up your life and believe for the supernatural miracle power of God. All right, there's one more thing I want to mention, and that is that miracles of provision come when we're willing to adjust. Are you willing to adjust? Or do you have things so screwed down in your plan, so firmly inked, you know, in your strategy that God just can't really work? I'm all for a plan. I'm all for, you know, order. I love order. I personally thrive on it. I have order in my life, and I get a little jumpy when things get out of order. That's just me. But I've learned that when I plan, I better do it in pencil. Because God is very, very likely to just come along and change the plan mid-course. It's happened to me many, many times. We're going in a good direction, and then God just changes it, and you got to come to a place in your life where the unexpected doesn't bother you anymore. Somebody said to me the other day, I loved it. They said, I've become comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I thought, wow, that's really the right way to look at life. I've become comfortable not being comfortable. Now, when it comes to adjusting plans, the disciples had a plan. It was a kind of like a bean counter plan, kind of like a very logical, systematic plan. Hungry people, very little food, send them away. That was their plan. It was practical, it was understandable, and extremely unloving. Just let somebody else deal with this. Jesus had a different concept. He said, you meet the need. Now that's a curveball, okay? It's late in the day, you're out in a desert place, there's a lot of people, there's very little food, and Jesus throws the curveball and says, we're gonna do something about this. That's a curveball. How many have ever had a curveball in life? Your marriage didn't go the way you thought, the business didn't go the way you thought, the ministry plan didn't work out exactly. This, it's the story of my life. I make plans and God changes them. So get comfortable with that, because you don't know how he's going to move, and you don't want to be in charge of how he's going to move. There's a verse in Acts chapter 21 that I just love, because if we want miracles, we got to be adjustable. It says, Luke is writing, and he had a problem with his leader. And this is what he writes down. So we could not get Paul to change his mind. So we gave up. And we prayed, Lord, please make us willing to do what you want. Have you ever been up against a leader or a circumstance or a situation that just wouldn't change? Now, at that moment, you can get really, really angry and start pushing and shoving. Listen, wives, husbands, employees, listen very carefully. You're up against a leader or a situation that's just not, it's not happening the way you want it to happen. And then you want, what our human nature wants to do is start taking control with our anger and start attacking and doing all that. And that is not a platform for a miracle, is it? When you're up against a brick wall and you need a miracle, do exactly what the apostles did. Take a half step back and say, in a way, I give up. Not a discouraged give up, but I give up trying to force this and make it happen the way I want. I'm trying to get my husband to do this my way, and he won't do it. Take a half step back. Don't fight. Just say, Lord, I give this over to you. Now put it in all of our hearts to do what you really want us to do. I'm going to tell you that if you are adjustable, you will see miracles in your life. And if you are inflexible, it's my way or the highway, you will miss probably 90% of what God wants to do in your life. That stubborn wife or husband, that stubborn parent, that stubborn team member, that stubborn leader, whatever it is, that person that's not budging on you is actually sent by God to get you to do this. All right, Lord, I trust in you. Amen. I'm gonna let you take over, because first of all, you're bigger than this guy. And I'm not in charge here, so I'm going to put my trust in you. I promise you, if you stop trying to force it and let God be God, let God work in your circumstance, you're going to see provision like you cannot imagine. God knows how to bless you far better than you can bless yourself. He can do a much better job, so take your hands off and let God work. Somebody needs to hear this. If you're in a desperate situation, be open to the unusual. Be willing to be obedient and adjust yourself, adjust your plans. Because I believe God's going to come through big time for you. I believe that with all my heart. I'm not worried about you at all. You put this in God's hands. You trust in him. He's going to provide for you like he has for Kathy and I. As you can see, we've never missed a meal. God will come through. He will provide. Can I have an amen? Amen. Not an amen on the weight thing. I mean an amen on the... You understand. All right. If you're watching us on video, I want you to go into your chapter 5 of your God of Miracles book and take your group through the rest of this workout. Now, the rest of us are going to take a minute and talk about experiencing how to experience a miracle of provision. I want to give you 3 simple steps. We're going to pray together here today. And I believe you're going to walk out today with your head high. Amen. Just saying, God of miracles is going to provide for me. I'm going to be all right. As a matter of fact, just tell somebody right next to you. Just say, everything's going to be all right. All right, just tell them that. Because God's on the throne. Amen, amen, amen. All right, step number one, if you want to see provision, you said you needed it. So write this down. Listen up. If you want a miracle of provision, number one, take inventory. In verse 38 of our story, Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? But Lord, the question is, how much bread do you have? Right? Because I need your bread. And God says, no, we're starting with what you got in your hand. What you have already has so much potential for the miracle. We make the mistake of always thinking about what we don't have. And our faith gets stronger if we'll focus on what we do have. And Jesus wants us to get focused because he's a God of seed. He's a God of small things. He starts with small things. He starts with little things like five loaves and two fishes. He starts with just a little bit and he says, you put this in my hand now. Put this in my hand and watch what I will do. But it wasn't Jesus's five loaves and two fishes. It was the people who had the need. They had to give what they had. They went all that. They took inventory. What do you got? You got a Snicker bar? Have you got a Tic Tac? What have you got? Who's got something? And they brought it all together, and it was five loaves and two fishes. He says, all right, that's the offering. That's the beginning point. This is where we're starting with. Could it be that the answer to the problem you're facing right now is already in your hands? Could it be that God hasn't done such a bad job providing for you that already you have enough to get a miracle going just with what you have, right? Think about that, because big miracles start with small beginnings. What are your five loaves and two fishes? Think about your gifts and your talents. Think about the time that you have. Think about the financial seeds that you have. Think about the promises that are in the Word of God. These are all the loaves and fishes of your hand. These are all the beginnings of a miracle. 2 Corinthians 8 says, God will generously provide all you need. He will do it. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over. Hallelujah. I like this leftover thing here in this message. Because we're always like, man, I hope I can make it. You're not only going to make it, you're going to have enough left at the end to waste a little, all right? I mean, not a lot, but hallelujah. God is able. So it says you'll be able to share with others, for God is the one who provides the what? The seed for the farmer. Don't look at what's in your hand necessarily as your harvest. It might be small. You might say, that's not enough. Think about, could this be a seed? And I'll tell you one thing about Kathy and I over the years, and even our church, when we've been in really in desperate situations. One time we sowed $40,000 as a church because we needed $4 million. I mean, we needed a $4 million miracle to get in here. And I met with the board and I said, you guys are going to think I'm crazy because we don't have very much. But there are four ministries I think we should sow $10,000 into these ministries. And we do it because what we have isn't enough to meet our need anyway. We may as well turn it into a seed. And let's believe for 100-fold on this. Let's just pray. And we as a board and as pastors, we did it. We passed the resolution. We did it. We sent $10,000 to four beautiful ministries, people that were caring for the poor and planting churches, and they were really great mission organizations, and we just sowed it, but we attached a purpose to our seed. We said, Lord, we need a house. We need a place. Well, you're sitting in the place that God gave us. That miracle came to pass. When you don't have enough, don't look at it and get depressed. Look at it and say, you know what? I think this is seed. This isn't enough to eat. This isn't for eating. This is for planting. This is for planting. And so as you put your faith in God, God will do that miracle. And really, it's not just money, because sowing and reaping applies in every area of our life. This is why Paul said in Romans chapter 12, here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary five loaves and two fishes life That was me throwing that in there. All right. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as what? An offering. Your whole life is a seed. Your whole life is a five loaves, two fish thing. And you look at it and say, it's not much. I don't have a lot of time. I'm not real smart. I'm not the sharpest pencil in the box, right? But you put that before the Lord and say, God, if you can use me, I'm placing my life before you as an offering, and you watch the miracle of provision take place in your life. So you need a miracle, take inventory. What do you got? Where's your seed? What? I know what your need is, but what's your seed? What do you bring to this? Where's your five loaves and two fishes? Place that into the hands of the Lord, and he will do something with it. Number two, I want you to look to heaven. This is very important for you. Look to heaven, because Jesus said in verse 41 of our story, Jesus looked to heaven. Now, if Jesus looked to heaven, how much more do we? Did it say he looked to the president? Did it say he looked to the local office of the Feed My Children ministry? Did he look to Social Security? Who was Jesus' source? His source was heaven. He looked to the Father in heaven. And beloved, I tell you, we become very adept not only at referring people, but also expecting people. We've been expecting, hey, I got to get mine. Who's going to give me mine? And we're looking to each other. And the reason there's so much anxiety in our nation right now, not only because we have controversial leadership and crazy elections and all that tumult and everything that's happening in Washington, but I think the real reason is because people are looking at man when they need to lift their vision just a little bit higher than the president or the Congress, or, you know, we're all frustrated with Congress and all that. How about if we just not depend on Congress? How about that? How about if we just look to God and say, God, you're greater than all that mess, and I'm expecting you. Those guys aren't your source. God is your source. Where's your faith? Who died for you? Who lives for you? Who intercedes for you? I don't care who's in office. They didn't die for you, and they didn't intercede for you. You might like their style a little bit better than somebody else, but I'm going to tell you something. No person is your source. Don't marry someone to get something. Don't give your future to IBM or Cisco. Cisco's not your source. Amazon's not your source. Hey, God is your source. Look to him. Did you forget? He already loves you. He already has compassion for you. He already died for you. So look up to heaven. When you look up to heaven, the miracle of provision comes. Sitting right here on the front row is Pastor John and Cindy. Wave, Pastor John and Cindy. Right here. He's leading the healing meeting at 3 o'clock today. About 26 years ago, Pastor John and Cindy looked up to heaven because they had a need. They had had four miscarriages. Cindy was several weeks or months along into a pregnancy when suddenly something felt wrong. They went for a test. The tests and the doctor revealed this child was not alive. No life, no heartbeat, all the hormones or whatever's happening on there, that's a whole other thing, right? All that stuff wasn't, the tests were not coming out right. So the doctor informed them, your baby is dead. Come back on Monday. We're going to do a DNC and remove the body. This would be their fifth miscarriage. Of course, they were shocked, but they looked to heaven. They prayed. Cindy actually worshiped the Lord in dance. She made a prayer to God. She said, Lord, I'm looking to you as a God of miracles. John came. He was in prayer. That was on a Friday, I believe. He came to Saturday morning prayer here in our church. We gathered around. We made that an issue of prayer. All kinds of consecrations, all kinds of ways of looking to God as a family would. On Monday, they go back for the appointment, but now everything has changed. Now there's a heartbeat. Now there's the right juices or what, right, you know, chemical reactions going on there. And instead of getting a DNC, and some months later, right on schedule, our little baby boy, Zach, was born. And Zach is here today. Zach, would you stand up? Zach Headley. And Zach and Cassandra have now their own children. I'm telling you, your children will have more than enough. And your grandchildren. And if you look to God in heaven, even when the doctor tells you something, nothing bad about doctors, I'll use them. But I'll tell you what, they don't have the final word. And the God of miracles and the God of our provision, he can meet our needs. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. We need our faith increased. Jesus said, oh, you have little faith. What's happened to your faith? How'd your faith get so small? And then later the disciples, they realized their faith was small, but they realized it could grow. And they said, Lord, would you teach us how to increase our faith? My faith has gotten small. You know, what Gateway is really all about, if it just in every way, is to just help people grow their faith through grow tracks and small groups and Sunday services and conferences and classes and all this. What is all this about? This is all to get that little bit of faith that you have to grow. And I encourage you to engage with some of the ways that get into your Bible, get into prayer, get into some of these classes, and let your faith increase. Because as our faith increases, I believe we're going to see many more miracles that God wants us to do. Here's the third piece of this, and then we're going to pray. Are you getting anything out of this? I want you to take inventory. I want you to look to heaven. And third, I want you to step out in faith. Now, it all comes down to our actions. Faith is an action. Faith is a verb. And here's what happened. Jesus broke the bread and started giving it out. Now, watch this. Because if you and I were there that day, if we were in charge of that miracle, it probably would have gone something like this. All right? I got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I looked to heaven. Lord, I need a miracle. I need you to multiply this food. In Jesus' name, we receive it. I believe it's done. Amen. Open our eyes. Still 5 loaves. Still 2 fish. Now, if it had been you and me, we would have said, that didn't work. There's no miracle. But Jesus didn't do that. You know what he did? He looked up to heaven. He blessed it. And then he started giving it out. He started taking steps of faith. See, we want 100,000 loaves and 27,000 fish before we even get started. But most miracles start really small. And then people that are taking action and believing, you take a step, you take another step, and God starts providing. And it literally, I don't know that there ever was a big, gigantic pile in front of Jesus. I think it was always just a little few pieces in his hands. But as he gave, it just kept multiplying. And there was enough. There was enough for you. There was enough for you. There was enough for you. And he just kept giving and giving and giving. And as he gave, God's blessing was on it. And this is really, I mean, I think about my life. I think about this church and I go, I don't even know how we got here. I don't even know how this is happening. This doesn't even make sense. It's just, but we just keep giving. We just keep showing up. And people keep getting saved and campuses and everything. God is doing something. So we don't wait until we have everything we need to take the first step. You get the seed and you start taking steps. Take a step of faith. Take a step of faith and believe God and realize that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Go ahead and put that last verse up. The Philippians verse, oh, there it is. This same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. God will supply. You just keep writing your checks, paying your bills, working, doing what, and you hit that wall, step back, stop pushing, shoving, manipulating, controlling, step back and say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. You're the one that promotes me. You're the one that provides. And watch how God opens a beautiful door for you. Then you get to the next place. Then you get to the next wall. and nothing's budging, and it's a desperate situation, you say, Lord, I'm going to trust you in my desperate times. I'm not freaking out. I'm trusting you. Hallelujah. And then God opens the door over here, and you go for it. And there's more than enough. The end of the story goes like this. Everybody gets lunch, more than enough left over. And Jesus has 12 bonehead followers. Kind of like, not me, not you, but her, no. 12 bonehead followers. Isn't it interesting how many baskets were left over, right? How many baskets? One for each bonehead. And it's kind of like, guys, this is how we roll. Okay. We walk by faith. We take care of the people. We take responsibility. We don't refer. We fit it in. We believe God. We make it work. Amen. Amen. Bow your heads, everybody. I want to pray for us. Father, I thank you for this time with these beautiful people. I see their hearts growing. I see the fire of the Holy Spirit on every one of their lives, Lord. You're doing a special work in our lives, and I praise you for it. You're teaching us to grow. You're increasing our faith, Lord. Thank you for this holy work. Lord, thank you for the desperate circumstances that we sometimes wish we weren't in, but that's actually the very place that you train us and teach us who you are. So, Lord, we have no complaints. We praise you. We thank you. And we are so glad that you love us. Thank you for having compassion. Jesus, thank you for dying for us. Thank you that you know how lost we are. And you came and gave yourself for us, Lord. Thank you for that kind of love. I pray for miracles of provision. I pray for some of us that struggle to adjust. We have our ways that we like things done, but you're adjusting things, Lord. And you're opening new doors to good things, to miracles, Lord. Help us to be adjustable. Help us to take that half step back sometime in our marriage, in our work life. And just not to get so wrought up in it, but just to say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I'm trusting you. You're going to provide. Thank you, Lord. Touch the people, Lord, I pray. Just while your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, I want to say a special prayer for anyone here who needs to receive Jesus. You're here today and you're away from God. Maybe you backslid. Maybe you've never really fully committed your life to the Lord. This would be your day to take that step of faith. This would be your time. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to take that step of faith today. I want to give my life to Christ. If you're here, just raise your hand. Just quickly raise it. God bless you. God bless you. Wherever you are, don't be ashamed. I won't embarrass you. Heads are bowed. Thank you, sweetheart. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. This is just between you and God. Pastor, pray for me wherever you are. Lift it up. I see you. Right over there, I see you. Thank you so much. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Thank you, ma'am. That's beautiful. And I'm going to say a special prayer for these 8 or 9 people that raised their hand. I want every Christian praying. You remember this moment in your life, how powerful it was. We just want the best for these 8 that have raised their hands. Just really want the best. Lord, we ask you together as a family that you would do a miracle in every life, Lord, that needs a change. Lord, break the power of sin. Wash away the hurt and the pain and give each and every one of those a brand new life. As they open their door to you, Jesus, come in big time. Show them how to live through the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Now, everybody just look up at me, especially those of you that raised your hands. I'm going to invite you to say a prayer. We're going to put the prayer up on the screen. This is going to be your moment to really seal the deal and just say, yes, this is me. I'm talking to God. I'm giving my life to God. If you're in a desperate situation, you're going to pray this prayer too. You're going to like it a lot. It's a good prayer. We're going to receive the offering in just a moment. I would like to ask those of you that raised your hands and our new people to do something simple. That card that you heard about earlier in the service, on one side it says, I'm new here. On the other side it says, I've decided. If you could grab that pen, fill out that side that applies to you. You're making a decision for Jesus today. Let me know what that is. You're new in the church. You haven't done it. drop that card in the offering, all right? Just do that now because the offering is going to start in just a minute. We're going to pray together this prayer, and then we're going to worship the Lord together. So let's pray. Here we go. Father God, everyone together. Father God, thank you for the powerful and unusual ways you meet my needs. I expect miracles of provision. Lord Jesus, be my God. Come on, pray it out. I give you what's in my hand, my heart, and entire life. By faith, I receive everything that you have for me. In Christ's name, amen. Today, 9 people gave their heart to the Lord in this service. I think we ought to rejoice in that. Ushers, come. We're going to end the service in about 3 minutes, so just sit tight. We're going to bring our offerings to the Lord. Pastor John's going to come and close the service. Let's worship together.
What a powerful word. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for the power that we have in our faith, Jesus. And God, we just take a moment, Lord, to give you what's in our hands, Lord. Would you multiply it, God? Let's look to heaven, church, and sing this together. The God who was and is to come.
Pray your best prayer over these people, Pastor John. Now, just before he does, we want to mention something about the chairs, right?
Yes. As soon as the service is over, men, if you could grab a chair or two or three or four or 118 and get them out in the hallway there, we sure would appreciate any help you can do. And
we're going to stack them up.
In the hallway. We're going to get all the beautiful new carpet in here this week, and you'll come back next week, and you will be awed and inspired. And so we're excited about that.
But you excited about the service today? What time do we meet?
Oh, we meet at 3:00. We usually come in that door, but because of this, we're all coming in that door over there.
Is the meeting with all the chairs gone?
Well, we're going to be in the Reality Center for the main session,
here.
And then we break into all the different miracle sessions that'll happen. So,
Reality Center, go past the bathrooms.
Yeah, we're going to actually have tape out. People are going to follow the tape.
They will not be able to get lost. All right,
yes.
I like it. Good leadership.
Hallelujah. Okay, I want to bless you. If you would just raise your hands to the Lord. Lord, we lift up our hearts, our 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Lord, we look to you,
yes,
the God and Father who raises the dead. And Lord, we give you our desperation. We give you our little faith. And Lord, we trust you, Lord, that like Elijah called down the fire of the glory of God, Lord, for the miracle, Lord, we call for the fire of the glory of God into the hearts to build faith,
yes,
to restore, to strengthen, to do miracles, to do life, to do expansion and prosperity and blessing and healing and hope,
yes,
and vision,
yes,
and joy and,
yes,
life and all the promises,
yes,
of God, which Christ says yes and amen to. And if all the people of God who believe this and agree say amen.
Amen.
God
amen.
Bless you.
Amen. If you need prayer, our prayer teams are here. Please come and God bless you. You're dismissed. See you soon.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our